And let's deal with a doctrine, a teaching, an education from God. And how many would confess with me today that Christ in you, your hope of godliness or divinity, is perfecting that which concerns you? Is God doing that? Well, the answer is yes, He is. He's with you. Now, perfection is something that is taught by many who seek a form of humility that is unattainable, cannot be reached. So perfection is understood in the New Testament as maturing. In other words, lay your hand on your forehead and say, it's time for me to grow up. Somewhere along the way, you've got to put away childish things. Got to become a young man, begin a young woman, young mother, young husband, father. And then one day you might wind up like me, being a father to the church, a father to others. I spent nearly 5 hours yesterday just fathering young sons in the ministry that have been kicked out, thrown away, unloved, hurt, molested, manipulated. And yet they're the called of God. Got too many Sauls running around in the church that are threatened by the next generation and the next anointed person. So growing up is the idea, and there are seven spirits, seven distinctions that are going to cycle through you. Everybody say cycle through. For the rest of your Christian walk, hoping to mature you. Now in Hebrews 6:1, we're going to talk about those seven spirits cycle through you. They're going to teach seven fundamental doctrines that Christ personified, that Christ manifest or revealed. And how many would believe that God sent forth His Son as an example that you and I should follow Him? Jesus would say very mature things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father because I talk like Him. I act like Him. I love like Him. I do His work. I'm His witness. I'm the witness of God in the earth. And if you believe my origins, Jessica, you'll realize it's your origin too, that you came from the same place, that you're an idea that God had, and you became manifest in the flesh. For me, it was back on October 4th, 1961. For Bobby, it was November the 15th, 1901, but He's still with us. He looks pretty good to be over 100 years old, doesn't He? Way to go, Bobby. Whatever you're taking, we want to take. Amen. It's good to see our elder Wister Nance back with us. What do you think about that, Super Dave? He survived the turmoil of Janice and... He told me he got to feeling better. He said he had a tough time breathing. And when he woke up, Janice was over the top of him with a pillow on his face. So as soon as he got that, I'm just kidding. I love Miss Janice. Janice says, that Brother Kello, I don't know. He says he's my pastor, but he picks on me a whole bunch. I love you dearly, Janice. She's glorious. She put down those Colt 45s and picked up the new wine of the Bible. Janice is still drinking, but now she drinks the new wine with me. I'm still addicted. I'm just addicted to Jesus now. We addicted people make good Christians. We just get addicted to something better. How many can say amen? But perfection is the idea. And God cycling through us over and over and over again, young lady, is how He matures us and hopefully causes us to grow up. And how many feels like you're growing up from when you first got saved? God's asking for our maturity. And in Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3, we find, therefore, leaving the principles or the basic utterances of the Logos of Christ, the Rhema word, let us go on into perfection. There it is, the ultimate goal. Grow up and mature. No longer a babe, no longer a young teenager, but now a mature adult. No longer just drinking milk, no longer just eating the bread of heaven, but now every now and then we eat some meat. And I hope to provide a little bit of meat on the table today for your consumption. Ezekiel was taken to a valley of dry bones. And God asked this prophet, can these bones live? And he said, well, Lord, thou knowest. And he put the bones in order. Then he said, prophesy sinews or tissue or meat. In other words, put some meat on those bones, boy. That's why we eat our beans and our taters. We eat the high protein to put some meat on the bones. Everybody say, we need some meat on the bones. I like the meat on the bones. God likes a strong people, strong in spirit. As the metaphor goes, we got a little bit of heckling from the amen corner. It's okay. Yeah, I know. Calorie counters right over there. I don't count the calories, but I do have to count the carbohydrates now. But God wanted to put some meat on the bones. And then he told the prophet, he said, is this going to live? And he said, again, Lord, thou knowest. And then he said, prophesy my spirit into those bones and tissues, and they became a living body again. God wants to put some meat on your bones today. From the doctrine, not laying again, the foundation of repentance from dead works. People say, oh, I believe God. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't walk with God. They don't witness. They're not a light. They don't give. They don't serve. But at the same time, they profess that they know God. But yet in their works, they deny Him, being abominable and unto every good work reprobate. In other words, they say they can be a Christian and not live the life. I say if you are a Christian, your life will prove that you have faith. So you show me your faith without your works. And Jessica, as you know, I'm going to show you my faith by my lifestyle, by my works, because God is working in me today. And the Spirit of God is resting upon me, cycling through me, the calling of maturity. That's number two, a faith towards God. There it is. Number three, the absolute substance of what we're hoping for, until it becomes the evidence of our reality, of all the victories of Christ, which are manifest through our redeemed state, the virtues of our being resurrected and brought back to light. Virtue. Everybody say virtue. Virtue is something brought forth by God, a quality that you have, designed in you that you are just a tad bit aware of, but at the same time unaware of it because it had been dead in you for so long or you never thought it would come to fruition, and God brings it back to life. How many believes He's the living part of who you are? You see, I died at Calvary. I died, but then something amazing. Christ lives in me. See, the amazing part to me is not when I was in all my ardor doing all I could do. I'm going to hold on to you, God. What amazed me, Nick, is when I lost my grip, lost my hold, and I retained no strength. And God came through and said, I'm still holding you. I still love you. You're mine. I thought, Leanne, I was too far gone. And I said, okay, God, I die. I get it. I die. I wasn't good enough. Couldn't make it. And God says, no, you're exactly what I want. You've tried your best. You're at your wit's end. And now I step in to show you what grace really is. Right when I had no strength retained in me and I couldn't hold on anymore. I think of times when I was young and my dad made me cut wood and bust wood and stack wood till my hands just wouldn't work anymore. They were so fatigued, I retained no strength. And yet he wanted me to do more, and I had to tell him, I'm out of gas. I can't do it. I'm cramping up. I don't retain any strength. Now, that was with my natural dad. My heavenly father came through and says, it's okay, Kevin. I'll be your strength now. I see you really tried. I see you really gave your effort. And God was the one who apprehended me. You see, I've been trying to apprehend him only because he apprehended me. Now, in these perfection, faith towards God, there it is, number three. Of the doctrine of baptisms, there's number four. Baptism in water and the Holy Ghost. Everybody say both. And if you read Acts 2:38, both happens at one time. Oops. Number five, of the laying on of hands. Tracy, that's why we prayed for you today, darling, for your heart. That is a doctrine to be practiced by the saints in the church. She has the right to call for the elders of the church. She has the right to say, hey, I need a healing. I need everyone that has faith to come and pray for me. And you can fully expect your heart to get better. Amen? Of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead. And how many is taking part of the resurrection right here, right now, through the new birth and through the Holy Ghost? I'm being resurrected right now. Now, it'll be completed when Jesus makes his entry back to earth. And my body may be in a grave at that time, taking a dirt nap, sleeping. But my spirit soul will be with Christ, and I'll be one of the saints that come back with him to claim my body. And then shall be brought to pass that saying that my mortality will be swallowed up of life, and my physical natural body will become immortal and powerful like he showed me when he also rose from the dead. Everybody say amen. See, he previewed what was going to happen to you and I because he's already abolished death and he's the first begotten from the dead. He's the first one, but praise God, I'm in the right line. I'm following the right steps and I seek to walk the same walk so that I will have that full experience of resurrection as well. Somebody say amen. And I'll be clothed upon with my body from heaven. Not that I'll be naked. I wouldn't do that. That would embarrass me. Those of you who want to go back to Eden and run around naked and grow cucumbers, you're a weird bunch. I find that just plain old strange. That's strange. Okay? You stay over there with the radishes and the yams. You're a different one. God Almighty. Anyway, of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, the spirit of perfection, I want you to back up all the way to Isaiah 11. Seven spirits. There are seven fundamental doctrines that come through us through seven distinctions of spirit in Isaiah 11. It's said very clearly of Christ. Isaiah 11. And the spirit of perfection and the spirit of rest. If the spirit rests on you, it's resting on you to perfect you. Understand what this anointing does. The spirit is resting on you to perfect you. Say that with me. The spirit of God is resting on me to perfect that which concerneth me, so I could learn the ways of the spirit, be born of the spirit, filled with the spirit, led of the spirit, anointed of the spirit, a child of God's spirit. Worship him in spirit. And that is in the area of my new birth called communing with God. Communing with His Spirit. He's partaking of me and finding His becoming. And I am partaking of Him and also finding my becoming. You see, God can become a father to me when I allow Him into the dark areas of my life. In other words, that's how you manifest godliness in this present world, through relationship, and God has finally sobered you up from the drunkenness and the cares and the riches of this life. And there's a lot that this life has to offer. You could go run here and do this and do that and be places that you probably shouldn't be. Amen. Unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unequally yoked to God while you're there. Or you can be found equally yoked to God, agreeing with what He wants to do in you. And remember, your life, your soul, is like a garden. If you do a good job in the garden of your soul, you will be the one that gets to eat the fruit of it. It will bless you first and then everyone else because you took the time to plant a garden in your soul and it brought forth a bunch of good vegetables. The silver queen corn, the blood red tomatoes, all the fresh veggies, and you're bringing them to church and sharing them because, my God, we've got more tomatoes than we know what to do with. Good, I'll take the overage. More cabbage than we know what to do with. Good, we'll make grilled cabbage burgers. I don't know if you've ever had one. You cut the cabbage up the size of a burger, grill it in a skillet, and put it on some bread, and woo! Holy ghost and fire. That'll make you shout. It's mighty good. It's great. Put a bit of lemon juice on it, and man, we cooking now, baby. Somebody say amen. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, out of the house of Jesse. It was said in 1 Kings that he had seven sons, and then in the next chapter, when the seven sons had passed before Samuel with his horn of oil, he asked Jesse, "Is this all you got?" And he said, "Well, I got this other boy, but he's not the kosher son. These are the ones that, you know, the woman I married in church and the woman that I go to church with, but my concubine, my sideline gal, that I had this eighth son with her." And they had mocked and ridiculed David his entire life because the purebred sons made fun of David as being kind of a bastard child in the house of Jesse. He said, "No, I got one more," but he's out there watching the sheep. And he takes it to heart. When I give him a task to do, that boy is something else. Oh, by the way, he killed that bear over there. The bear came in and tried to take a lamb and my crazy little boy, he took his hands and his sling and his Bowie knife, and He went over there and he killed a bear. And he says, oh, also, you see that lion over there? He killed the lion too, because he also made the same mistake of trying to take one of the lambs. I told him not to risk his life. It's just a lamb. He said, Dad, I couldn't allow those beasts to come in and devour the innocence of one of your lambs. Samuel said, well, I'm not going to sit down till you get him. I got to see him. My eyes have to look at him. They went and got this ruddy little boy, these rosy cheeks. Probably looked a lot like Harrison with his big bountiful hair growing off his head. That big mop he's got growing out of that skull of his. But he's a well put together little fella. He's tough and he's tight. He's sinews and he's taut. He's capable. And he don't know how to handle somebody else's armor, but he knows how to use what he's got real good. He walks in and the Spirit of the Lord moves on Samuel. God's seer sees the vision that God sees. Here he is, a little fella, a ruddy little boy, and he will be after God's own heart. He will live a life that's worse than Saul. He'll commit more sins than Saul, if you're counting. And you know, some people do. Well, I have less sin than you. That makes you worse. Not if you repent. It's true. Some people stand back and say, well, I've never done that much wrong. They really do need Jesus. Yeah, I do. I repent a lot because I mess up a lot. I fall down a lot. But God forgives me every time. And I'm more after God's own heart because I can acknowledge when I'm wrong. You're too self-righteous to admit you're wrong. And Saul becomes a worse man than David because Saul thinks his opinion is better than God's. Saul thinks he can do it his way after God directly tells him what to do. He doesn't do it. And he doesn't think he needs to repent or that he's wrong. That's called heresy. You think your opinion is better than what God said? You're in the land of heresy. Your opinion's better than God? No, I don't think so. David knew God was right. And David could admit when he was dead wrong. Have you read Psalm 51? Have you read Psalm 34 and 36? You'll find out that David said, I have transgressed. My sin is before you, God, and I'm sorry for it. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I know most of you haven't had to pray that prayer. I've had to live by it. When my anger gets me in trouble. When my mouth gets me in trouble. Can you imagine how much trouble I stay in because of this? Now I know the rest of you are great about it. But the first time I read the Bible, and it said you should forgive your brother 490 times in a day, I'm like, God, that's got to be just the beginning. Because when I was a sinner, I cussed more than that every day. Because it was pretty much every other breath. With God's name in vain. It was just normal for me to accentuate the lack of my vocabulary and my expression through cussing. And like Ralphie on A Christmas Story, where did he learn that word? Well, I've just heard my dad use it every single day of my life since I've been born. See, my dad did, he was in the Navy not just for 2 years, not for 4 years, not for 6 years. He was in there for 8 years. And yes, he would cuss you out like a sailor. Holy mackerel. You'd hear words, you'd have to go look it up in the book of cussing. That means you're in triple dog trouble. Anywho, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. His name was Jesus. He is the branch. And we are the vine that grows out of that branch. and he is the branch that grows out of the trunk, and the trunk is the husbandman, the Father, who is the God of all of us. Everybody say, he is the branch and we are the vine. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There's number one, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. And the Spirit of wisdom, two. And the Spirit of understanding, three. And the Spirit of counsel, four. And the Spirit of might, five. And the Spirit of knowledge, six. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven distinctions, Ecclesiastes 1. You want to know how God perfects you? He uses these distinctions in spirit to cycle through you over and over and over, Ecclesiastes 1. Right after the book of Proverbs. One book back from Isaiah. I overshot it. Ecclesiastes 1:4, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth, get ready, forever. You mean it's not going to be destroyed? You mean it's not going to be burned up? You mean that we're not going to go shooting up into heaven in a cloud? Yeah, that's what it says. Forever. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goes towards the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth, and again, according to its circuits. And the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, they return again. All these things continue to cycle. The weather patterns, the seasons of the earth, the generations of life come and go. I will pass away by the generations of God, and then somebody else will take over. Someone that can really teach people that God really is a loving Father. I think I know who he has in mind. See? And we should be helping this next generation get to their destination. Now, we don't want to credit them too much because they have a tendency to get heady and high-minded. So while we love you and support you, please keep your feet on the ground. Realize the real job is loving people. Being there in all seasons and at all times, consistently loving. That's knowing when to emphasize, and then, Jessica, knowing when to back off. You got it now. I have confidence in you. You got it now. You're living the good life. You're living the God life with your husband and children. Good job, daughter. Mighty proud of you. You don't need more of my input. You just need my approval now. You don't need me dominating you. You just need me seeing you, looking at you, and walking with you and saying, good job, darling. I'm so proud of you. These things cycle through the earth as the Spirit of God rests upon us. What causes that rest? Well, if you go all the way back to Genesis, we'll find just a short story here if we can. Is that okay with you? Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8, 6, and it came to pass at the end of the 40 days of raining night and day, in which at that time God thought it would be a good idea to kill all the known world, save Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight people. God would later repent of that idea, and he'd say, I've learned from that. That's not a good idea, and I'll never do that again. Everybody say, God learned something. He's not the know-it-all God, but He is the God that learns, and He asks you to learn about yourself with Him because He's been learning along the way. Learning how to deal with us. Learning how to motivate us. Learning how to love us. How many of you have been learning along the way? See, a know-it-all is not fun to be around, but someone who's willing to learn it all, I can work with that. A know-it-all is not fun, but a learn-it-all, the love of learning, well, yeah, Bobby, I'll learn. Teach me. I can learn. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, a black raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. And the raven never returned. That's what darkness always does. It never returns. It never gives you back what you hope. Darkness just leads to more darkness, and nothing just leads to more nothing. Well, the next thing he said, no more ravens. Let's send a dove out. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. No rest. And returned unto him into the ark. Now jump down to verse 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days, waited another week, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Just like the raven, right? No, wrong. No. The dove will come back down. Matthew chapter 4. It'll be interesting to see what that dove lights on. Sorry about that, Miss Paula. I wasn't trying to do a gotcha moment. Matthew chapter 4. If the Spirit of God is going to rest on you, how does it rest on you? As it seeks to perfect you. The dove of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:14. I was close, just one chapter off. It's okay. We just walk through the front yard, go to the next door, knock on the... I'm one door off, all right? Come on. God, don't beat me up. All we got to do is walk across the front yard. Oh, hey, this is the right house. Okay. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Because earlier in John chapter 1, he said, you're the Lamb of God. You're the Christ. The Holy Ghost that I was born with moved on me and showed me who you are. Comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, yeah, that's true. Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is about to do a great act of obedience. An act of obedience that he asked every one of us to do when we get born again. He set this pattern, and I don't care how high and how mighty and how spiritual you think you are, he asked you to do it too. If Jesus was baptized, you're not better than him. It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. This is a big act of obedience if you want the Spirit to rest on you. When he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Everybody say he went straightway up. He goes down in the water, and he comes up in the water. Now, we know that downward movement as burying the old man, the old you, the sinful you. Didn't you bury him, Nick? I buried mine. I buried sinful Kevin. I buried him in the watery grave. You did too. You follow the pattern of Christ, God the Father will lay a claim on you. He claimed me. God, my Father, told me to get baptized. I had to tell my pastor at the present time. I said, listen, I'm not waiting anymore. I need to be baptized. Every time I pray, the Spirit of God is dealing with me, saying, you're my son. You fulfill this baptism. You are mine. Do what I tell you to do. I said, either you're going to baptize me, or I will go find someone else who will do it. I'd say same thing about getting me a Bible. Either get me a Bible. You want to be the one that blesses me with the Bible? Well, I've waited long enough. Buy one, or I'm going to go buy one myself. I finally got a Bible. He made a big deal out of giving me a Bible. I said, well, that's okay. But I've waited long enough. I'm ready to get started. I want to take my journey. I want to get moving forward. My temperament was changing gears. I want to get on with it, Miss Beth. That's right, Holly. I like that smile. You know what I mean. If we're going to do this, then for God's sake, let's do it. Amen? Then he suffered him, and Jesus went, and when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a what? Well, that's where the dove came back down. The dove that went out in the days of Noah finally found a place of rest. In the act of obedience of Christ. In this act of living a new life. If you want the Spirit to rest on you, are you really committed to God? Will you really bury your old man? Will you come straightway up and out? Will you live the life of being led of the Spirit? Because the Spirit will rest on you if you commit and become loyal and steadfast, rooted and grounded unto the faith. Then the Spirit says, their obedient son, I'll rest on him. And the Spirit, like a dove, rested on Jesus. The dove, that third flying bird, came down and found its walk in Jesus. That was flying is now walking. And we all start out flying. Where is it at? Matthew 3:16. Not John 3:16, Miss Janice. That's Matthew. Praise God. Everybody say praise God. I know I turn to a lot of places in the Bible. I want you to know where it's at. I want you to see how God makes me think. God says, knit this together. Take the quilt that we wind up paying a lot for and take this patch and sew it to this patch and sew it to this patch and sew it to this patch. And if you put it all together, it turns into a quilt and it'll keep you warm at night. Amen. I got a quilt on my bed right now that I cover up with, and I greatly appreciate it. Amen? This is the patchwork ministry of Pastor Kello, putting truths together, showing you. How many likes to see where it's at in the Bible? How many likes the location? Location, location, location. That's the story of real estate, but anyway. And I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, well, now, this act of obedience, this act of commitment, this act of burying the old life and coming up for a new life, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased with this. And if you want the Spirit of God to rest on you daily, can God say, I love your act of obedience. I love your commitment to me. I like the fact that your eyes single, that you're looking to me every day of your life. You're looking to me if it comes to buying a new car. God knows that's true. You're looking to me on how to relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your climate, how you relate to the earth, how you relate to the waters, how you relate to animal life. You know, there's 7 relationships you're responsible for. Just by the way. the atmosphere, the lithosphere, and the hydrosphere. The animal kingdom. The stars, the sun, the moon, each other. Your relationship to God, your relationship to each other. 7 days of creation, seven areas of harmonious relationship. God doesn't want us at odds with the animals. God doesn't want us at odds with our atmosphere or polluting it. God doesn't want us polluting our waters. He wants us to have an appreciative relationship. Aquatic life, animal life, aquatic life, the heavens themselves, the earth, the water, God and each other. Makes a total of seven. And guess what it's all about? Proper relationship. When I was a young man, there's a squirrel that comes through about the same time every day through my backyard that I've noticed. About the same time every day. It's in my mind to go out there and drop some nuts and things in his path. Now, the earlier me would have taken a BB gun or a .22 and shot him and killed him. Just for the sake of killing him. But the relational me wants to develop a relationship and love him. Wants to see him eat those nuts and enjoy them and say, hey, we can live together. As long as you stay out of my gutter and stay out of my house and stay out of my attic. David says no. He's had some trouble with those varmints. But I want to come with a bag full of pecans, and say, I come in peace. Let's be friends. I don't know if you remember when the fires were running through Australia. Little koala bears were coming out of the woods, starving for water, and they would come up to people to get a drink of water. The animals were turning to mankind. It was God that put the fear on animals because of mankind. We're the ones that remove that fear and restore relationship. You have a relationship with everything. Your air, the ground you stand on, the water you drink, the animals on the face of the earth, the aquatic life in the ocean, with each other and with God. Seven things that He wants us in harmonious relationship. And yet we look at people from the Sierra Club, and because they only focus on one thing, we say, those crazy tree huggers, I know, the trees that breathe in your carbon monoxide, your poison, and produce oxygen, which gives you breathing ability. So you know what? I may go out there and hug a tree with them. And I may use the fact that they love nature and creation to teach them that God made that creation and He made you. Not only should we love this tree, but we should love each other. Now, I agree with you, it seems obtuse to love a tree and then turn around and hate God. Something's wrong there. But somebody's got to bridge the gap, don't they? Someone has to make sense of it all. It might be me if I see my calling. If I see my calling. If I comprehend it. How do you get the Spirit of God to rest on you? Your commitment to obey. God gives the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. How many is committed to obey? That's every day, every waking moment, every situation. I'm always thinking about how I respond because I can't control what's going on in life. I can't control the evil that is sufficient to the day thereof. Something very evil might happen during the day, but I can control every time how I respond to it and the environment I recreate by responding rightly. That's always my choice. Everybody say always. Well, He made me. He made you? How did he do that? Do you have a gun to your head? Oh, no gun to your head. How did he make you? You've been so out of control with your emotions and your feelings. You've been blaming others for your choices for so long, you don't realize who's driving. You don't realize who's driving. There's many times I'm on the road and I say, wake up, you're driving. My car comes with a very special feature. It's a horn. And I'll roll down the window and say, you nearly killed me. See, the idea is that you're at the stoplight and you wait on red and the rest of us get to pass through. We're not supposed to stop on green because you decide to pull out in front of us. Just saying. Y'all with me today? What makes the Spirit of God rest? He gives the Spirit to them that obey Him. You think God's going to freshly anoint you in disobedience and transgression and sinning willfully, knowing what you're doing is wrong and doing it arrogantly anyway, turning around and eating pollution, swallowing up your own vomit, getting back into the mud from where you were washed? No, the Spirit doesn't rest on you because of that. The Spirit will resist you. The grace of God will resist you. He gives grace to the humble, but to the sinful. James chapter 4. We're going somewhere. Everybody say, we're going somewhere. Don't leave me just yet. I'm trying to make a point here. Sister Williams, am I doing okay? Do I get a thumbs up? James 4, 5, and 6. Do you not think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in us, it has lust and it envies? That don't sound like the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lusteth to envy? What a choice of words. Smith Wigglesworth said it like this, that God has a passionate desire for a full response from the Holy Spirit that He's placed and sown in you until He gets all He's got out of you. Amen. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Humble. Hebrews chapter 4. Because if you're born again, the writer of Hebrews says, there remains a rest. And what I see, AJ, Michael, ministers, Christians who still suffer loss, Christians who are not at peace, Christians who are not at rest, Christians that don't know how to surrender their unsurrendered soul. What they have learned how to do is hide their hurts, deny their sorrows, mask their manipulations, put on the facade and feign their faith. But the Bible said we should have the commandment out of a pure charity, an unfeigned or unfake. Not, don't fake it till you make it. Be genuine and real. Be honest and truthful. Share your soul. And yet we find people not at rest. They're tormented by what's happened to them in their childhood, in their marriages, what's happened by others, abuses that they've gone through, word curses, being told you'll never amount to nothing, being told you are nothing, being told you shouldn't have been born, and yet here I am. Why would God birth me into a house where they're the ones that had me and they said I shouldn't be here? Well, why did you have me? Should I have been aborted? Am I supposed to be here? God thinks I am. And only God can make sense out of that. And if you don't make sense out of that type of suffering, you will be addicted to negative thinking, addicted to negative psychosis. The pathology of your mind will always think the worst when it comes to you. And God wants you to think the best when it comes to you. Are y'all listening to me? It's important. Stop basing your life on your failures and base it on the big, shining, awesome, marvelous success of the marvelous light that's shining in and forgave you freely and frankly of all. God doesn't remember any of that against you, and it's high time that you stop remembering it against you. Can we say amen? Hebrews chapter 4, let's read it together. It's a good chapter. Let us therefore fear or reverence or acknowledge, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. Now we want the Spirit of God to rest, and we want the dove of the Holy Spirit to find a place to put its foot and say, oh, I can be at peace here. I can rest on a lamb. I can't rest on a bear or a lion. You're always angry and mad. I don't rest on hyenas. I don't rest on predators, but on an innocent, docile lamb, I can rest on that nature. Do you have the nature of God? Do you have an obedient, committed lifestyle where the Spirit of God can rest on you? Because that's what's going to perfect you, the Spirit of God. Entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And I see a lot of people living short of the abundance that Jesus promised. How many find it difficult to say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly? Who had the Lee? Me too. My middle name is Lee. Anyway, I like the Lee part. That means not only abundant, but more than abundant. Isn't that great? I love it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them, because while it's being preached, and while it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching, to save you because you're a believer. Everybody say, I'm a believer, and I need saving. Because everything I do is not right yet. Every attitude I have, every behavior I have is not coming out of the faith of God yet. I'm working on it. But I've got some behaviors that we need to forgive that, forgive that. Please be graceful. That behavior wasn't up to par. How many's ever had to deal with yourself because of your behaviors? How many's ever had to give an account of the deeds done in your body since it was done by you, and Jesus was in there? I can see Him like Fred McMurray in My Three Sons, and He's patting His right foot like, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do. He's tapping His feet like, boys, boys, My Three Sons. Yeah. Sorry, it's a little bit dated. Y'all can go look it up and laugh about it. Remember, they lost their mother and all they had was their dad? And he'd come in and say, yeah. And he'd say, boys? It was kind of like Nick until he met pretty Erica. He had his wingtip loafers on, laced up loafers, and he'd be sitting there patting his foot, expecting his boys to do better. And Jesus is sitting in the position of your heart saying, are you really going to try and do that right in front of me? You know I don't approve of that. You know I think that's wrong. Straighten up, boy! And God lovingly waits patiently and draws us out of what's wrong and gets us to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And that, by the way, happens in real time right now with your advocate who lives in your heart so that you can give an account and deal with, struggle with self until you become what Christ wants you to be. Everybody say, God's looking for better behavior out of me. I used to have bad behavior when I came home from work until Diane fed me. And then I would change from Godzilla to a human being. It was interesting. Food, I don't know what it was. You know, please slow down on the problems. Stick something in my mouth. Get me started to eating. And then I can feel the transmogrification. I transform into a human being again. Because when I come home, the scales on my back, they're already lightening up, and I'm ready to just burn everything with fire. And then a piece of pizza, I'm feeling better already. The Snickers bar. And I need to sleep at a Holiday Inn. I need a good meal, and Matt, I need to sleep at a Holiday Inn. And I'll probably wake up and do heart surgery or something astounding after that. Something really, wow, that was amazing. Can we say amen? I can be Frankenstein at night, and then I eat and I turn back into a nice person. I've been somewhat of a Jekyll and Hyde. I know the rest of you have it all worked out, but yours truly, I need a little labor. I need a little work. I need a little prayer. Look at what it says. The word did not profit them after it was preached to them, and it was the gospel of good news because it wasn't mixed with faith. You know, I'm teaching you this so you can believe it. Everybody say, he's preaching to me so I can believe this. Will you go home and do something with this? Will you go home and look at these seven spirits that fundamentally cycle through you, the seven fundamental foundational truths of Jesus Christ? Because that's how God's going to perfect you. That's what the Bible says. And how does the Spirit rest on you? Acts of obedience. The more you obey, the more you'll feel the Spirit leading you and guiding you. The more single your eye becomes, the more you'll feel revelation entering into you and transforming you from your heart. Then you send those beliefs up to your mind and you tell your mind to get busy and make sense and reason out of what your heart says you believe. Because sometimes your head's saying, we don't believe that. We're not doing that. How many's ever had that battle from here to here? The heart says, go this way, and the head says, no, I told you we weren't doing that. I told you that wasn't happening. So now I use my heart and says, go up there and kick the brain right in the tail feathers and tell them, we are going to do this today. You are going to look this up, and you are going to study until it becomes my habit. I habitually study the Bible. Habitually, because I want God to be a habitation. I want to provide for God myself as a habitation for God. I'm telling him that the dove of the Holy Spirit, you can live here, stay with me. He says, well, stop doing all that other stuff and I'll think about it. If we say praise God, for we which have believed, now the tense here is very important. Believed is in the past perfect tense, which I'm not believing. I'm not starting to believe. We have believed finished past tense. Abraham believed God. While he was believing God, it was in the midst of happening. but when he believed, finished, past, present tense, that belief that he knew he had was accounted, God got on his... Yep, he has faith. Yep, we're going to account that as righteousness. Everybody say, account that as relationship with God. His belief in God was accounted for relationship with God. How much do you believe God? How many areas do you believe God in? How many facets have you and God plugged into life? Is it going to be God this afternoon? Is it going to be God while you pull for your car at the Daytona 500? What if you lose? Was it God last weekend when you were pulling for the Bengals and Burrow, Joe Burrow, didn't win the Super Bowl? I know. And that West Coast team. Ah. Who cares? A blue and a yellow ram. Who's ever heard of such a thing? How weird. That's just weird. Rams. Yeah, well. Even a blind hog can find an acorn every now and then. A broke clock is right twice a day. Next. God told him he was going to win. Oh, be quiet. You actually believe that God gets involved with the Super Bowl. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, that one is. She's way off the reservation. You've been off the reservation her whole life on that Redskin stuff. And they do need to change their name. The Washington Foreskins would be a good name for them. But anyway. I mean, if you want to fight about it, let's go. Remember who you're dealing with. Okay, back to the Bible. God forgive them and me. If, there it is, if, have you entered into rest yet? Do you really know that God is your life, not just something you do on Sunday when nothing else is impeding you and you have no other plans? God is my life. Obeying Him is what I live. I died. I carry in my heart that form of doctrine. I have believed from the heart the form of doctrine, or the doctrine that forms me into the image of Christ. That is my being. That is who I am. That is my action in life. That is the light that I constantly shine in darkness. No matter where I go or what I'm doing, I'm a witness and a light and a Christian. Amen? Oh, gosh. You know, you guys did it. I could go off into funny land right now and never come back. I don't know if you feel it, but I'm right there on the cliff. I keep thinking. Oh, I already went off. Oh, okay, thanks. Help me out. Elder, get over here and help me out. I feel like I'm at that cliff and I could just jump off. And no, Lynn. Stay on track. Okay. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day. We're back to Genesis chapter 1, and all God wanted was to have a day of rest, and his idea of rest was relationship. The seventh day was a day of rest, but the day was surrounded by relationship. Rest. Relationship. And remember, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Don't sit there and tell me what you're snotty about. Why I'm not around them. Well, go make peace with them. Stop being snotty. Get rid of your nasty. Right? We're going to break your fangs off and suck the poison out of your ducks there. Stop injecting poison into everything. Quit it. Make peace. Make relationship. Now, he's going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 in the seventh day, which was said to be a day of rest. And the day of rest was based on he had created everything just so he could have a relationship with this first man, Adam, who had been made in the likeness of Christ, the prototype of all humanity. The first production man was made for the fellowship and the relationship of God. God was meeting his own need in a hole inside of himself, not the universe, because there was no universe around. He didn't do that till the second day. God's meeting a darkness and a need for relationship in himself. He's creating something with form. He's taking something that's not, like I was, turning it into something that is, and he's shining his light in darkness. And God said, I want to love, and I want to be love. I'm going to show love, and I want to see if I can get love back. And he made you and I. Everybody say, I'm fulfilling the bill. God's getting what he paid for. I've inherited him, but he's inherited me. And by inheriting me, he says, well, I got my money's worth when I got Kevin. Old Kevin, he's a mess. He's a hot mess, but I love him. He's thinking about me at night before he goes to bed. He's thinking about me in the morning when he wakes up. He's constantly thumbing through his Bible, wanting to know more about me. And I found out that Kevin, am my beloved. My beloved loves me. And his desire is towards me. He wants to spend the day with me. He wants to hang out with me. And I want to hang out with him. Yo, what's up, Jesus? Come on into my crib. I love it. See? Can you just hang out with Jesus? Can you believe that the Holy Ghost would just hang out with you? You come under my carport, and you might find me shining on my old GMC truck, and you'll find out someone else is there with me too, Jesus. The Holy Ghost will show up. You'll feel the presence of God as much in my carport as you will here at church. Because he's not here in this building. He's with me. He didn't love this building. He loves me. God's not waiting up here in the corner of the sanctuary in the cloud saying, I just wish they'd all come back. I wish they'd all come back to church. No, God's with us every day of our lives. And the seventh day, as it said, on the seventh day, on this wise, God did rest. The Spirit of God. God is the Spirit. God rested. What did he rest with? The man that he created. Fellowship. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing, comprehending, or understanding. Therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. And some of you are saved and still don't know the rest that you have in the power of relationship. Everywhere you read the word righteousness in the New Testament, I challenge you to write over the top of it, relationship. Everywhere you see righteousness, you see the real motive is relationship. God wants to relate to you. And I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. We're close. You getting anything out of this? Well then, look at your neighbor and say, tell him to preach for 5 more minutes. I challenge you. Okay. There you go. Thank you, Kyle. Everybody meet with him after church. Again, he limiteth. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. You know, back at Sinai, when they went to their wandering. You know the lie people tell in this modern day. Well, we're just going to go out and search. We're going to go out and look for churches. We're going to leave God and go out and search in the wilderness. We're just looking for a church. You're leaving a church to go look for a church. You know what? That type of double talk is just full of lies. Maybe your accountability. Maybe reproofs of correction, which are the way of life. Maybe the very people that can perfect that which concerneth you. Jacob needed a Laban in his life for Jacob to see what was wrong with his life. Peter needed a Cornelius. He needed to find a centurion Gentile soldier that was a better man than he was. I wish you could hear me today. You know that God could pair you with someone that's annoying the life out of you to try to get you to see you are annoying. So he pairs you up with someone 10 times more annoying than yourself to get you to finally look in the mirror and say, you know what bugs me about him? He's like me. See, now when you feel your imperfection, when you go to hiding, when you feel insecure, when I say stuff like that, that's because it's working on you. God made me to make you face yourself. God intentionally makes me provocative and annoying to try to teach you to stop being annoying. God ordained. Now, you're not listening to me. You're going to miss this part of it. Jacob, before he became Israel, needed Laban. He needed someone that was 10 times more a trickster than Jacob was. And when he got good and fed up with Laban constantly tricking and changing his wages, he finally decided, my God, going back to a man that threatened to kill me is better than spending one more day with this guy. And what's in the middle? The fords of Jabbok and the wrestling match that had lasted for 20 years. And finally, Jacob admits to who he is. What is thy name? Same question was asked of the man of the Gadarenes. What is thy name? And in his admission, God changed his life. Have you had enough of you yet? Have you seen yourself enough yet to know that you're the one he's trying to change? I love it saying, well, if they would do this and they would do that and they would do this, pointing out everybody else's fault. Well, maybe if you would change, everyone else would be okay. Maybe if you'll let it first begin in you. Remember, if it first begin in us, where God's going to go to work first is in you. When you see someone that reminds you too much of yourself, you may not like what you see because you're getting a mirror into your own soul. And God does things like that. Jacob needs Laban. Peter needs Cornelius. Saul really needed to run into Jesus as a young man and claim how good he was. Jesus looked at him and loved him, but Saul walked away. Saul returns as a very astute lawyer, quotes the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might and with all thy strength and with all thy heart. Jesus looked at him again and said, you're not far from the kingdom. You're not in it, but you're not there yet. Because Paul was, Saul of Tarsus, was measuring himself up to Jesus, and guess what? Found wanting. He came up to that mirror one more time on the road to Damascus, and his life finally changed. You know, that's why we meet the people we do. Nothing is by chance. It's God that made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He is trying to remove your insecurities and your doubts and your failures. And sometimes it's hard to look at what you're supposed to measure up to and realize you're not measuring up. Amen? Anyone? I've had to do it a million times over. I'm still doing it. And when I'm by Super Dave, boy, do I realize how much I don't measure up. I was supposed to be 6'5", 2. I am not overweight. I am vertically challenged. Amen? Anyway. I digress. God help me. He limiteth again. And a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Now we have another day, and then this other day, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day of your new beginning, and it can begin today if you'll hear his voice. It can start today, right now. All things can be made new from here on out. Forget what's behind, right? Go on and have a new day. Start now, because now is where God is. Now is the accepted time, and today can be your day of salvation from now on. All things can become new, Leah, right now. If you'll hear his voice. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. In other words, I'm living by God's grace. We used to think it's how much I hold on to God. The truth is, it's how much he holds on to me. How much I apprehend God? Nah. I'm trying to get a hold on him, but the better part of it is he got a hold of me like he did you and that Miss Shay. That's what keeps you coming back here. He got a hold of you. That ram that was stuck in a thicket, that's where rams belong, stuck in a thicket, not a Super Bowl, but anyway. Welcome to the jungle of my mind. If he could have got away, if he could have got his horns unstuck from that thicket, he would have got out of there, but he couldn't. God's the one that's captured you. Amen? Which is a type of Christ captured for you and I. Almost closing. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. God said, I'm going to rest and just relate. I'm going to rest. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to relate to this man that I made. Relationship. And it's going to cause me to rest. I'm going to have fellowship. You know why? Because he loves you. What saved you and kept you under such great abuse when you were going through it is God loved you. God was being your shield. God was protecting you. See, I see it so clearly. There's no weapon that's ever been formed against you that shall ever prosper. And every tongue that shall rise in judgment against you, you shall utterly condemn it. You belong to the Lord, and your heritage is of God. That is, thus saith the living God. You've had everything and everybody run their mouth and try to drive you into the ground like a rusty nail that's worthless, but it's not true. God is your shield and your exceeding and great reward. You, you are the seed of Abraham. I am thy exceeding and great reward. I am the Almighty. Trust me. Call things that are not as though they were. Decree a thing. Others don't have the spirit or the power or the authority to do it. Decree a thing. And young lady, it shall be established unto you. You see something that's not of God and your child, in your relationships, you call it like it's supposed to be. And you watch God go to work. That's the saith the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost. Well, that was a word of knowledge. Well, weren't you supposed to have a prayer line and everybody be falling out like cordwood? No. Pentecostal people taught you that. God can be real no matter where you are. I can be on the third aisle of food line and be having a word of knowledge, witnessing to someone. And the lady goes up front. She says, you didn't know it, but I believe there's a Moses on aisle three. Back there. I've had them come looking for me before. They said there was a ghost back here. I said, there is one. It's a Holy Ghost. Just being a witness. Somebody say amen. If I'm filling my car up with gas and you're in my vision, careful. I don't need to know your first name to come talk to you. I'll just come talk to you in the name of the Lord. It's true. That's how I met this man. At a garage getting my car worked on. And I knew he was a man of God when I met him. Looking for restoration. And I gave it to him. I began to talk about something he knew. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He immediately bore witness to the truth. Somebody say amen. That's how it works. So, watch this. I cease from my own works, and I now trust in what He did for me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I wound up laboring more abundantly than they all, yet not I. Truthfully, it's the grace of God that rests, the spirit of rest, to perfect me on me. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, you know this part, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in this sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Should I go on? I think I will. Seeing then we have such a great high priest. Do we know it? Do we get it? Do we believe it? The problem with me is, I do see it. I do know it. And it knows me even better than I know Him. But He promised I can know Him as well as I'm known. I put away the partial things, the tongues that cease, the prophecies that fail, and the knowledge that vanishes away. And now I live in the eternal faith, the everlasting hope, and the unconditional love of God. I'm plugged into Him and He's plugged into me. He can become what He is in me, and I can become what I am in Him. Because He said to us, let's all of us take on humanity. Let's take on flesh. He said He'd do it too. And when He said He would do it, I said, yeah, I'll do it. If you do it, I'll do it. How many's ever had an older brother? I was scared of a lot of things. I was real scared a lot of the time. And I said, if you'll do it, I'll do it. That way, if I get beat, I won't be alone. You'll have to get beat with me. My good friend came from Myrtle Beach down in South Carolina. And he remembers when we skipped school and went down to 7-Eleven from Ashley Junior High. Some of you don't know what that means. And while we were on the way back coming up 321, the shop teacher saw me and said, come here, Kevin. Where's Todd at? And I said, he's right there hiding behind that car. He gives me grief about that today. He continues to ask why I ratted him out. And I said, I didn't want to get a paddle in by myself. I may love him today. I may have had God dealing with your innermost being and changing what's on the inside of you. That's what he's about. He told Peter, after you deny me three times, you just gave me your bravado. That though everyone else deny you, you won't. God ordained a failure that was going to cause him to grow. God ordained a temptation to show him how weak his strength really was. He said, you're pointing out all the others that won't deny you. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. But I prayed for you because Satan would love to have you back on his team. He would love you to have to throw in the towel and quit. But after you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Now, do you have God changing you on the inside? Because if he's changing you on the inside, the real work of God is taking place. If you are really considering your ways and how you live and how you act and how you love, that is really God. How many said God work on the interior? Because that's where he lives, from your heart. Still changing. How does God perfect you? By resting on you. How does he rest on you? By your acts of obedience and your commitment to be his servant and his disciple and grow into being his friend. Servant, disciple, friend. Would you say today, I'm the friend of God. God and I are friends. I'm no longer just in the disciple-servant relationship. I've been upgraded to the best, closest status you can have. I am the friend of God. So if you're here today and you love him, and you want me to pray for you, you want to come to the altar, I'm here for you. That's the first of seven spirits that cycle through you continuously to perfect that which concerns you. And it's got to rest on you for the rest of it to work. Can God rest on you? Has he found the right nature? Can you be a lamb? Because that's where the dove will rest. Father, today in the name of Jesus, O great heart searcher, searching all that's in our hearts, come and search us out today, knowing what's in the mind of the Spirit. You know how you're refining, purifying, sanctifying, and setting us apart. You put this great treasure in these earthen vessels. Truly today, God, we say the excellency of the power comes from you. God, change us inwardly, eternally, and absolutely. Search our hearts and try our reins and move out any wickedness within us. Help us to bring you into our darkness and say, Father, come and shine your light of love and put form and take away the void and the wasted area and let light shine in this darkness to where the darkness overpowers it not. Let the light be the life that we walk and live in maturity as you perfect that which concerneth us. Mature us, grow us, lead us, guide us. Show us, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.